Ready when you are.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in Apple, such as it's been. And it's been a bit of a fraught week, it has to be said. With the orders last week and all that kind of stuff, and then the rumours, and then Angela's email saying how sorry she was because she's... well, she didn't say she was sorry, but she cocked up the release, that's for sure. Joining me to discuss the Apple screw-ups of the week, a fantastic panel. I'm going to get email, I know, but never mind. Top left, you don't know who he is yet, but we do. He's the host of our new guitar show, Lee Peterson.
Hi, guys.
How you doing, mate? I brought my guitar along. We're going to have a lesson afterwards, I hope.
Yes, good move bringing your guitar along. Yeah, so I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about the show now we're in, or do you want to
We'll bring it up at the end, if that's all right, because I'll tell you why later. How you been, okay, mate? Have you been keeping up with the Apple news? Have you bought a watch?
I've ordered. So I went into the store last Friday, actually ordered it. UK time is not too bad. I think I ordered it literally just after 8. I'm in the first delivery window at the moment. I think it's 24th to the 5th of May.
All right.
Whether that's going to slip or not, I don't know. But I've just gone for the same model everyone else has, I think. I've gone just for the Space Gray 42.
That's the last time you come in on this show, then. So I couldn't get one.
I can cancel my order.
No, you can just bring it round when it's there. None of them fit me. I don't know what I'm worried about. Next to him, it's Matt Cass. Where have you been, son?
Busy.
Busy. Someone's downloading porn on your line as well. It's gone all choppy.
Uh-oh.
Or is that another dead rat in your pool?
Yeah, maybe. That was terrible.
That was pretty poor little thing. I couldn't get out.
Yeah.
If the water had been an inch higher.
Yeah. What's going on with my connection? Sorry.
That's all right, mate. You been all right?
I've been good, yeah.
Did you order your watch?
Of course.
And is it coming in time?
Yes. Yeah, I changed my order at the last minute, though, so I'm not getting what everybody else is getting. I'm getting a 38 Sport with a blue band.
There's a lot of people who've got, I would have said, chunkier wrists, and they've gone for the 38, not the 42.
Well, here's what happened is right before it was time to order, I asked my wife one last time if she had any interest in the watch, and she kind of changed opinion, and she was kind of in the middle of the road, so knowing that I'll upgrade in a year... I wanted something I could pass down, and she definitely didn't want the larger one. Okay. So I kind of made this decision for me. And when I went and tried it on, I really want 42. So I don't know. I might get a little, like, they're making bumpers, little cases for them. So I might get a case for mine, just to chunk it up a little bit more.
Yeah, there's someone released them yesterday, didn't they, on a mobile phone site on UK.
There's going to be a million of them. Yeah, there's one company that's doing one that makes it almost look like a Casio G-Shock.
Yeah. Because that's what you want to do. You want to spend $18,000 on a watch and make it look like a G-Shock.
Cheap one, yeah. No, there's some nicer metal ones. So I'm going to hopefully find one that's nice, you know, aluminum sort of surrounding bezel just to beef it up a little bit, probably. I'm also going to try to maybe just see if I can get one ordered to pick up in store. And then return the one, but I need to have it for review, so I don't know how it will work out. They're saying they're not going to have them in store, but when I went to try mine on, the woman insisted in stores for purchase. That you just have to buy online, like they've been saying, she said, but that, you know, they were expecting to have inventory at the store.
There is none going to be at the store. It's been confirmed.
Yeah.
There's absolutely sod all. Next to him, it's Doc. Bleary-eyed Doc from 5 a.m. away. How you doing, bro?
very good. I got my watch on the way, and you know, really goofballs is when I pressed and I sent in my order. I originally had it selected for release day, and then being inquisitive and wanting to see like what other options were out there, and so I started pressing buttons, and next thing you know, I'm at May 13th. It literally took that fast. So then I said, okay, let me start dicking around. And then my Space Gray 42 millimeter with the black band Sport was not available. So I ended up getting Xbox One Green, but no problem. Because I already pre-ordered like 3 different Kickstarter adapters that would allow me to use my laser cutter to cut a Cardigan leather band. I don't really like rubber. I don't really like metal, but I do have a laser cutter, so I'll cut my own band.
Right, if you don't like rubber and metal, mate, then the 21st century's kind of left you past.
No, I just mean as a watch.
Oh, okay, yeah, right.
And just because when you touch the, you're always hitting the MacBook, like it's scratching up the MacBook. My MacBook is pristine. Like there's no scratches anywhere.
I got visions of you walking around like Sol's brother, mate, with a an allergy to metal and rubber.
That's just crazy. No. I just for the watch. You know, it's funny. Everyone says, well, I haven't worn a watch for how many years? I realized for me, it all started when we got to unibody. Or, sorry, when we got to, not titanium. I suffered through titanium. I kept shocking myself and hooking myself. And once we switched to aluminum, that's when I kind of got rid of the watch. And I had purposely went and bought, like, rubber bands and whatever's, and then once we get all the way unibody, I'm like, no watch.
You know, the titanium only had like 1% titanium in it, right?
This is very true.
So I mean, it was aluminium with 1% titanium.
Yeah, you know what it was. The seam on the front used to, I have hairy arms. The seam on the front used to catch my arm hairs. I mean, you go to pick your hand up, it'd be like, frick. So after that, yeah.
It wasn't a shock. It was an arm hair trap.
Yeah.
Yeah, go to the emergency room with that one then, mate. I've had a shock. No, you haven't, Mr. Rock. You've had an arm hair trap. Next team, new boy, Jeff Carlson. How you doing, pal?
Good morning. I'm sorry, good evening. Good day. Good I'm fine, thank you.
It's afternoon, mate. Time for tea and scones.
I've got coffee.
How the hell are you?
I'm doing very well.
That looks like a stolen mug to me.
Maybe that's, not entirely
stolen. That's one of those diner curvy side coffee mugs that you've nicked.
It came with a pound of really good coffee, so
yeah. Oh, okay. I was gonna get sort of up.
Like it actually did come from a coffee shop near here, but it's legitimate as far as you know.
I've got a really nice coffee cup that we went into Cornish Pasty Company. And West Cornwall Pasty Company, and they were going bust the following day, and I said, can I have a coffee cup? And he said, well, I'm not supposed to, because apparently they got a note from the people that were doing the collapse.
Auctioning
receivers, the receivers that were taking them off, yeah, and they were like, no inventories out the door at all. So he said, I'll just tell them I broke it. And last but by no means least, Patrice.
Hi, how's it going?
It's good, man, you?
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
It looks like, we can't see the window because it's all whited out, but it looks like it's sunny over there.
It is. It's sunny. It's in the 60s or something like 20 degrees Celsius if you're in Europe. And I've enjoyed it, so it's pretty good. And I ordered my Apple Watch, so.
You did? Okay.
I did. I got the same one everybody got, and I'm almost regretting it because I had my try on Tuesday, and I'm glad I ordered the sport, but the silver or just aluminium sport looks a little, in my opinion, looks a little bit nicer than I expected. So maybe I will send mine back once I can, or just sell it once I can order one.
When you say you finally ordered it, you're getting it in 2000 and...
No, I did order it sometime, I don't know, 5 minutes after the store went on. So I'm in the 12th to 26th of May window. So 4 to 6 weeks.
Mac Vader is still throwing daggers at you because they can't get it at all yet in Holland. I think Australia's still missing it as well at the minute. And there's plenty of other countries, and even if you're in the developed world, you still can't get it. So there you go. Angela's issued an email. The Apple news, of course, of the week. Retail chief Angela Arendts on Thursday sent a memo to Apple employees, explained that the shipping delays for Apple Watch. She hinted that the company would be returning to the iPhone-style launches with lines outside its stores. You could see that being a conversation that was had, couldn't you, during the week? Angela, come in. Sit down. Now then, I want to have a word with you about the lines around the stores. They're not untidy. You've got the wrong end of it, woman. But she's basically saying there wasn't enough stock. There is not going to be anything in the store to go and get on launch day. There will be no queues around. You can queue all you like, but you won't be able to do anything other than try one on if you've made an appointment. A couple of the listeners have said to me that they've had problems getting appointments One of the guys in the country, in Lewis, has been going to the big city this week, and he's tried to get an appointment for the weekend. There's no appointments for the next 10 days to try a watch on.
Oh, bullets.
They've only sold 2.3 million units as well, so the old 5 million units thing was a pile of horses' apples, and so they've really massively undercated for this device in terms of demand. Yeah. I know it's sold more than Android put together, but that's not the point.
The Covent Garden store in London, I mean, it's the biggest and the nicest store in the world. So, I mean, no wonder you have issues getting an appointment. I didn't have any issues, but I went to a very small store here in Cologne. So
he's not going to the big city as in London. He's only going to somewhere like Southampton or Portsmouth. It's not like massive. But I read a review of the Apple Store purchasing experience at the Covent Garden store, and the guy said it wasn't good. He went in, he got a device, and he said if I would have gone in to try the $17,000 watch, he said I wouldn't have bought one, and I'd just walked out, because he said they got taken to a separate room. They had to choose what they wanted to look at because they were only allowed to see one at a time. So then they had to make a phone call. Then a security guard had to go to a safe on the other side of the store to bring the watch to them. So there was a big delay. He was offered a drink and a bottle of water and a play on a Mac Pro while it was coming. There was no other watches there to try on, so he couldn't even test the interface. And the watch that turned up didn't work. It was just a blank that did a demo loop, and that was it.
All
the watches you can ever go with, they're all just demo loops.
Somebody's giving you half the story. Bruh, somebody's giving you half the story. Okay,
tell us
first
the truth,
of all,
then, Doc.
I did a booking appointment. I walked into Ala Moana, which is one of the busiest stores in the whole country. Like, they see something like...
On an island.
Almost 500 to 800 people an hour, depending on the peak of the season. I walked right in, and I went in to go buy new Philips Lux bulbs. And there's all these people, you know, queuing up to try on the watch or whatever. And so I rolled up one of the specialists, and I was like, hey, you know what? Store's almost closing. See, this is called using your head. I went to the store at 8:30, right? Store closes at 9. I go, store's almost closing. You guys got any Apple appointments left? And he goes, you know what? After this group of people, pretty much the last 20 minutes, they're all wide open. So it's going to take me like two minutes to let me get you a person. I was like, all right, cool. So I go over there, and the guy tells me straight away, the one that you're going to put on your arm is going to be running a demo video. The one that's right here on the table, connected to the table, that is a full functioning one. Yep. You can press all of the things. You can do everything. You can try it out. And then he says, you're going to be able to try it one at a time. So what happens is, when the person that is giving you your demonstration does what's known in the Apple community as setting the proper expectations, your experience is great. If that one person had that one person that's that one person that didn't do it the way they were supposed to be taught, then yeah, but you can't blanket the entire 420 stores as these guys
are all...
That's
not what I said at all.
I know you did.
That's
it.
That's not what I said. Hang on.
I know. I'm not blaming you.
The guy went to the Covent Garden store, and it was a really crappy experience. And he said, if I'd have been buying a £17,000 watch, I wouldn't have bought it, because they had me in a room. There wasn't one in there that worked. There was nothing he could play with. In the elite room, there was nothing for him to play with the interface. All they did was sit him down with a Mac Pro, and then brought him a blank that played a video. And he's buying a 17 grand one. The twat that's buying the 350 quid one on the outside floor gets to play with both, and the guy that's doing the 17 and one doesn't, and that's ludicrous.
So I'm assuming
that's what I said, Doc.
No, I got you. I agree with you. I'm not saying you said that, but what I'm saying is I know what will happen when that story gets out, that the tech press will go crazy with it and blow that one particular thing up, and I'm guessing that one store got it wrong. And if anybody at corporate know they got it wrong, they would catch it. Trust me, because I worked there for 8 years. I know how they operate. That person would be getting a call from what we call the red phone, and they would be ran up a tree real quick, because they don't like that kind of sort of thing. But I can definitely tell you that if you want to try one on, and you happen to be like myself, I can drive to any one of three stores in a matter of 5 minutes. Go at the end of the night or the very beginning of the morning, and you'll have no problem getting a try-on appointment. And do it when you walk in, because they always leave room for walk-ins.
Yeah. One tip I should have mentioned, I was in the Apple store at the Genius Bar on Tuesday, and they mentioned that if you don't have time for, or if your Genius Bar appointment interferes with your watch appointment or something, they have mobile units, so they can do a watch try-on at the Genius Bar if they want to. So if you have an appointment at the Genius Bar, just ask for it. Maybe they can do it there, right there, and you don't have to wait or come in some other way.
Well, no, actually, mate, just maybe they've actually got your culture sus, because Germans aren't particularly good at waiting, are they? I've stood at a few ski lifts in Austria, mate, and your kinsmen are frigging useless at waiting in queues.
Yeah,
I pushed a few over.
But I'm the exception. I have no issues with waiting, so I'm probably British or something. I don't know.
No, what they've done is they've sussed out that no German wants to wait in a queue, so they might as well just let them have a go at the Genius Bar instead. Now, there's a couple of Germans have felt my wrath on ski slopes, and I've pushed them over when they've come up the side of the things. Or you.
I'm absolutely fine with that. I can feel your pain.
Oh, there's wankers all over the world, mate. It's not a culture thing at all.
I have to disagree.
Should we carry on talking about Apple or just leave it there? Well, we'll see you all next week. No. Right, so Business Insider says that Angela's apologised, and I did say, though, didn't I, that they haven't made enough. But the other thing I was going to say was the reason that you're probably getting a few extra chances is because I don't think there's as many appointments going in the US as there are elsewhere, because of the 2.3 million that were released, the US had more than a million in pre-orders. So there's probably a little bit less demand on tryouts perhaps than there is in the UK, because we got virtually nothing. We are the country cousins, you bastards.
One thing that came out yesterday, too, though, is that the backlog won't be as big as the backlog is when they actually start rolling out. So I think what happened is some of the supply chain stuff is catching up, or somebody protecting, not wanting to completely botch it, pulled the number back, and now they're realizing that they're okay with it, that they're starting to release the number back up. And that's what I was talking to Ken offline, and Ken Ray, I was like, I think that they're protecting the line just as, you know, again, I was really good about setting expectations.
And I think they were conservative, yeah.
Yeah, people will get their stuff a lot sooner. Tim actually went on the record and said some of you people who are seeing 4 to 6 weeks will probably get it much earlier than expected, because I think whoever's in charge over there in the middle country went around, yelled at a bunch of people, and... somehow everything is back on track again.
Yeah, no, we said it last week. I think they really were shocked at how popular it was. I think they I didn't think they thought it would be this popular. They had no base to go on to say how popular it was going to be. So they've made enough. They knew that they would probably sell. And lo and behold, 6 minutes later, they thought, might have to make a few more then.
There's a really good article by Carl Howe at carlhowe.com where he breaks down the you know, sort of estimates and the how Apple is likely, you know, fulfilling all these. And his idea, which sounds pretty solid, is that, you know, Apple has made, you know, probably 3 million of you know, the guts of the watch, and then they're basically doing you know, fulfill by order for all of the cases and the bands and all of that combination stuff. So that's probably more real time rather than having a bunch stocked up. Yeah. So that they can, you know, have all of the easily produced, you know, guts and core components already, and then, you know, these 2 weeks are basically spent putting everything together now that they know what combinations people want. I would imagine that you know, the first, like that first morning after orders, Tim Cook was probably just in a, you know, numbers wonderland, just, you know, trying to figure out all the logistics of making it happen.
No, he was the numbers wonderland he got was, how many don't we have? I just want to say, actually, because I saw the tweet about the Carl Howe article this morning, and there was two things I thought straight away. Carl, stop listening to our show and copying what we say the week after. And two, if I want to read 3,000 words, I'll buy a Harry Potter novel, mate. Jesus Christ. I got to say, someone sent me a Syracuse review a couple of months back, and I was like, I want less Mark Twain and a bit more review, please. Jesus.
Yeah, well, you're not going to worry about those anymore.
Why?
He announced he's not doing the OS X reviews anymore.
Oh, right, okay.
He's done. No more Syracuse OS X reviews. I'm a little sad.
Review books.
Well, if he's writing an instructional, then that's different. But the kind of, which they some of them were when you, but you had to skip. You just had to skip. I'm sorry, John. Some of the stuff you do is great, but I had to skip. I couldn't. That's speed read.
Yeah.
And being dyslexic, speed reading's a bit of a journey for me. It has to be said. It comes out completely different.
What's definitely, it was interesting the most about the article too is Apple for a long time has been a very much the JIT management style or just-in-time form of production for many, many years. And if you're going to do it, from watching the video when they were talking about how long it takes to produce a case, that's the way to do it. You create all the guts, you just have them chilling, the guts aren't as expensive as some of the cases are, and you just create the cases on the fly. And yeah, I think that's a brilliant concept, and it's quite a brilliant idea. So
yeah, there is a massive variance, absolutely.
Right. You know what? Again, though, not again. I do think it's funny, as I'm listening to all the news, I'm listening to all the reports, I listened to a bunch of tech podcasts in the last couple of weeks just to hear what everyone had to say. And as mostly analysts, not the tech journalists, the tech journalists are repeating what the analysts say. But a lot of the analysts and other naysayers out there, they're kind of PO'd that Apple sold 3 million, and that's a bad thing somehow. And I'm like kind of laughing to myself. I remember where we were lucky to have 3 million Mac users total. Right. but 3 million of something that the minimum price is $349. And yeah, and it seemed like the most popular one was the $699 one. So I don't know about math and cost of production, but I guarantee you it's not, they're at least about 40% profit margin, if not more. Why are you complaining? I don't get it.
I think no one's complaining about it. From my viewpoint, I think there's a bar that's set by Apple, and I think the complaint is that they've woefully missed that bar.
Set it too low, yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind if you know, something like the iPhone comes out, it's incredibly popular. We've made 9 million of them, but we're going to have to make some more. Awfully sorry. 9 million units is a big ask in terms of production. 2.3 is not a smirch, I know. Mm-hmm. But they've been at this for a long time. We saw the watch a long time back, and then it did do things. It didn't do things. Something was included, it wasn't included. Then at the launch even, people are going, oh, I don't know if that's in there anymore. And do they still do the walkie-talkie? And this has been so up in the air and so un-Apple that when it finally... Yeah, you know, whoa! Lo and behold, they've launched with significantly less units, and it's all sold out in 6 minutes. That in yeah. Apple, and that's my.
I mean, did Apple set the bar, or did people set the bar?
Apple set the bar.
Apple. How they said always we're set produce the bar low on that stuff, though. They historically have done that.
So great. Hang on, stop, Doc. Let Mac, Adam talk. Go ahead.
So I was just saying that Apple historically always sets the bar low. If you listen to their quarterly conference calls, they always set their numbers really low. And I think Doc was talking about this earlier. You know, they set low expectations and then want to overperform on that. I think you're also right, though, Ewan. In this case, they were really, really off. I think Cook got caught really off guard. I think he didn't think the watch was going to have this much popularity right out of the gate. Being sort of a brand new product with a lot of consumers questioning, you know, is this something I need and is this something I'm going to use? I think they probably thought more people would be going into stores to check them out first before just ordering. But
I think the to and fro of what the spec is, what the spec isn't, what's included, what's not included, information about what it'll do, what it won't do. That was very un-Apple as well, though, and that's not anything else other than.
Compared to the launch of the iPhone and the iPad, which both were new categories like the Apple Watch, and it's the biggest launch so far. It's somewhat expected, I think, because just the Apple has grown so much and the iPhone has grown so much. So Apple definitely messed up, but it's also one of the definitely. I mean, we haven't heard any official numbers, so it's a guessing game. But based on what we've seen, I think we are all guessing the same, that they at least sold something like 2 or 3 million in the first in the first weekend.
There isn't an analysis that's been done by
Slice.
Yeah,
it's by Slice. Mm-hmm. I use Slice. I really trust that that's accurate because I use Slice religiously. That's been my top pick over and over, like 3 Christmases in a row.
Yeah, but it's still a guess, basically. They don't have the official numbers. They are.
I think they're probably fairly good guesses, though. At 2.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 2 points. Absolutely.
And this is the thing is for me, the way it went on that Friday, these figures feel realistic.
Mm-hmm.
2.3 million units total. 1 million, more than 1 million, was sold in the United States alone.
Mm-hmm.
So. The other thing I think they've got as well, if it's a first come first serve at the website, which is then it makes me dubious that that's the case, how if all of a sudden, you know, Eastern Europe gets on the website first and they buy all the allocation that's there, then if there's a million units sat in the US, there has to be kind of a, if someone logs on from the UK and says, mm-hmm. I want a watch. Yeah, that watch may exist in the United States, but we ain't shipping it over, so just tell them it's not available.
Yeah,
there has to be
as far,
kind of right.
As far as I know, Apple is allocating it's allocating devices for countries. They might switch them over if they can. So if some country doesn't order enough and another country, they have huge pre-orders, they might ship them over or switch them over or whatever, or just change something in the back end. But usually they are allocating devices by country.
Well, based on the fact that this was midnight for the east, for the West Coast, when the thing went on sale, I think there was a pre-allocation held back for the US. There has to have been.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say that seems to almost be confirmed by, who was it, Greece, that said you went into a store and were able to order it, or someone said they ordered theirs 5 minutes after.
That was
I did.
Yeah. Or right. Who went into the UK store and said you ordered it in store?
It's Lee Peterson on the panel. If he's waiting for an invitation to talk, mate, it's going to be a very quiet afternoon for you.
Based on the fact that Lee said he's in that.
Hang on, Adam. You can't do that, Adam. Don't talk over him when he's actually going to speak. Go ahead, Lee.
I didn't.
No, but what I did was because I wanted one for launch, there was no way I was going to order one in store. That's one thing that I was a little bit disappointed by, that they've kind of not held any stock back for people that have gone in and wanted to try it. So I just took a punt, basically, and ordered the Space Gray 42 via the app, because the site kept crashing for me. And then I went on and I booked a try-on appointment at lunchtime that day. There was no... You know, I went in, I tried it on. The guy that saw me didn't say anything about ordering it afterwards. He just said, you know, there's a few minutes, it's kind of up. And then I went and played with one of the demo units. But that was just kind of to validate what I'd ordered. I think that's some of the commentary I have heard, and I have been disappointed with Apple. And hearing some of the stuff around the MacBook as well, not having that kind of experience of being able to get it. Especially that some of the stuff I know, I don't want to derail it onto the kind of the MacBook stuff now, and I've got some concerns maybe about the, you know, when the iPhone comes out, how are they going to order that? But certainly from what I've seen and kind of what I've read, people have got concerns that they're going to be able to order stuff in store going forward. But yeah, no, sorry, Adam, just answer the question. No, I didn't order it in store. Firstly, I wasn't asked, and secondly, I thought, well, there's no way I'm going to get one on launch if I do.
Yeah.
But you said it was 5 minutes before you got your order in?
Yeah, well, when I ordered mine, I literally did it just after the app enabled me to go in and order it. So just after 8 o'clock here in the UK, because the site was the site was crashing. Right. I think it was probably for a lot of you guys too. So I ordered my watch via the actual app itself, but I didn't order in store. I just literally just went in to validate the choice that I'd made early on. It was, you know, one of those things, bought sight unseen, which I know a lot of us do that, but it's a lot easier doing that obviously on the phone, because it's more of a known quantity. And even now, to be honest, I'm still, you know, on the fence of how much I'm going to use it. I think personally for me, it's from an exercise and a fitness active for me, because I've kind of started walking daily now, but as a watch, I know when I did have my Pebble, I kind of stopped wearing it after about a month. so it's going to be interesting for me to see how long I do actually wear it.
Yeah, I wear my Pebble quite a lot when I'm out on site, and since I've come back in off site last weekend, it's sat on the desk here and it's got no charge in it.
I just forgot to charge it. I think with the Apple Watch, with them saying, you know, you have to charge it every day, I think that's probably going to force me to wear it more, whereas the Pebble, because I didn't have to charge it for 4 or 5 days, I'd suddenly run out of charge halfway through the third day, and I'd be okay, I have to take that off now, and then I just never picked it up again.
Yeah, I think we've seen that with the iPhones, and especially with the iPhone 6 Plus, because you don't have to charge the iPhones every night now, and I almost constantly forget to charge them, simply because I don't have to, and it's noon somewhere, and oh shit, I only have 5% left because I didn't charge for 3 days or something. So I think it's better that you can charge, or that you have to charge it every night compared to only having to charge it every couple of days.
Windrider in the chat room has come out with the perfect quote: a Pebble with no charge really is just a Pebble.
can I finish the point I wanted to make with Lee, getting back to that, just finish that up, was that in the U.S., if you weren't in the first 1 or 2 minutes, you were already bumped to the second window, and that seems to be confirmed by what Doc experienced. So I was trying to point out, like, if you were 5 minutes in and you're still in the first window, that would somewhat confirm that there's different allocations for different countries, at least in my mind.
And you know what else, Adam, on that note, before we skip that note, what's really funny on that note is normally in an Apple store experience, if you slide something to the cart, you have 15 to 20 minutes to check out before it recessions you. If you slid something to the cart and you didn't keep going within 30 seconds, it was toast. Like, you weren't doing that, I can sit on this. Because all I was doing like this with the credit cards. I was going, oh, crap. This one. And right when I went back, it was like black 42. No way. Enjoy this green one.
I had my Apple Pay set up and ready to go, and I was done in 45 seconds. It was unbelievable.
I thought I did too, but my number expired at the beginning of the month. I redid all of the, you know, auto bill pays. I forgot to put it back in Apple Pay, and so I got dicked on that. That was my fault, though.
As if he wasn't hated enough already, J.J. Abrahams not only is going to get them to see the next Star Wars movie before you, he's got a bloody Apple Watch before you already.
Oh, I spotted that. Yeah.
Lots of celebrities do.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Did you see the Karl Lagerfeld one?
Yeah, they've got a special one.
Gold one with a gold link bracelet.
Yeah, special bracelet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which apparently wasn't even activated yet.
Oh, he's a surprise.
Okay.
He probably has no idea how to use it. It's just like, oh, here's something else to put on my wrist. All right.
Yeah, but the AG is, mate.
Exactly.
The plenty of gold? Great.
I'll put this on for
30 minutes and somebody will pay me a lot of money.
The age that Karl Lagerfeld is, though, he probably wore it for 2 weeks before he noticed.
Yeah.
Mac Vader's written something in the chat room that I can't read out because he's used a swear word, but I don't understand it either. Never mind. Right, so we didn't cover last week the Photos app, because we covered an awful lot of stuff to do with the watch, obviously. So Photos app was released last week, and I thought it'd be good to kind of pick up on it this week, because we've had a week to play with it, really, I suppose. Instant thoughts about the Photos app. Like it, love it, hate it?
Hate it.
I hate that I can't find my photo stream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a big fan either.
I like it, but I don't like the fact that it just kills your network connection when it's uploading anything. I think I've got about 25,000 photo library. It's been uploading pretty much since it came out, and I think I'm on about 19,000 now, but it just seems to kill your downstream too. I don't know if you guys experience the same thing, but it just kills my connection.
And sometimes for no obvious reason. I mean, I've used it in beta for months now, and every now and then it will just kill your connection or kill my connection for hours and hours. And I don't know what it's doing, because everything's uploaded, everything's downloaded. It just starts, and then there's no way to stop it. Even if you push the pause for 24-hour button, it will still download something and kill your connection. So the only way to really do it is basically kill the entire app and kill the background process to stop stop it from doing whatever it is doing. So it's not a good experience.
Yeah, I pretty much hate it.
I've heard the app itself quite good, but for the issues I've been experiencing are more on the iOS side, where if I'm in like Twitter or in Instagram, something like that, and I'm trying to share a photo, when I hit the photo kind of picker option, you know, it just takes ages to, it probably takes 3 or 4 seconds to actually bring up any images. And I guess that's maybe because they're not downloaded locally onto the device, but...
And have you noticed that sometimes pictures are missing? I don't know why. I think because they aren't downloaded to your device. But sometimes if I try to pick one of the older photos from with the photo picker in some third party app, some of them just don't pop, and I have to go into the Photos app, open the photo so it's downloaded, go back, and then it's there. So there's something weird going on there.
Yeah, that's the same with me.
You know, I keep getting I use Little Snitch, of course, as any smart person should. It does a lot of talking to Amazon servers as well as iCloud servers. And I don't know, for me, I guess if I didn't already have Lightroom and hadn't been spoiled by Lightroom after having been using Aperture for many, many years, maybe I wouldn't be so irritated. And I do realize this is for the neophyte, but... Maybe, I guess, those of us who are used to using a sort of a better app is totally not for us. And I said that when it first came out. I go, anybody who uses Lightroom or uses Aperture is not going to like this. This is totally for the iPhoto only guy, but I don't think that fits any of us.
It's not suited. It's not suited for anything other than consumer use.
Yeah.
But even then, it still doesn't do that particularly well.
And I try to put my consumer hat on when I'm messing with it, but... I'm like, all the people that I teach who don't know anything, if I had to teach them from this, I would probably be pretty embarrassed.
I think, the wider question I was going to ask as well about it is that, you know, Apple doesn't have a good history with storing your photo files. I mean, it's lost 2 libraries for people that I know when they said, right, we're stopping this service, you can't have it anymore, and they all disappeared. They're charging ridiculous sums of money. You're looking at 1 terabyte free of charge off Flickr. Excuse me, and they're charging $15 a month for the same amount. The pricing is almost, considering how bad they've been with storing photos for other people, to charge $15 a month for something you don't have a good history with is a bit of a piss take as well. Has Apple got a photos problem? Are they getting a reputation for not being good with photos? Because it's a shame, because the camera's doing significantly better and doing very well, and they've just purchased that Israeli firm, haven't they? Which, I mean, that looks pretty exciting if come September there's some new shiz in the camera.
Mm. And Ben is saying in the chat room that it's not for us guys, it's for the guys who want it made easy. But the issue is, even for those people, from my experience, it's not as easy and not as flawless as it could be. So there's definitely work to be done.
Go back to Adam's opening statement. I can't find my photo stream.
They've moved things around into the albums. Like, everything gets stuffed in albums. I don't understand why photo stream isn't in shared, which is where I want to look for it. You know, so there's some weird sort of choices there. But, you know, it's also a big change. So it's going to be the kind of thing where it's going to take a little bit of getting used to. It's another one of these sort of rewrite apps that Apple's been doing over the last couple of years, where everything shifts, everything moves around, and we're sort of not all the way back to square one, but, you know, we're several steps back from where we, from what we know. I shouldn't say where we were, because I think there's a lot of stuff in there that are steps forward. But, you know, it's sort of like, what do they say? 2 steps backwards, 1 step forward, maybe?
I'm a being
kind of the opposite.
Am I being unkind, fellas, if I say that Apple's got almost like a Google-type ADD with photo apps? They never really seem to crack anything. They never really seem to have anything that is solidified and that you can get used to and that doesn't change, or it changes subtly. It's always wham, bam, here's something new. 2 years later, bang, here's something new. 2 years later, bang, here's something new. Oh, and by the way, we lost your photo library, sorry. Unless you downloaded it and backed it up. Why aren't you backing it up? It must be your fault. You're holding it wrong.
That is one thing I want to give them credit for on the photos thing, is under the hood, they're doing some magic so that I mean, iPhoto is still there. You can still use iPhoto. And they also, they move the library to the new library, but then under the hood, they set up internal like symlinks and stuff that go back to the original library. So you can run both and you're not going to double your, you're not going to double your storage, which is interesting. Good. But that, to mm-hmm. me, that's also showing that Apple knows that this is going to be a big transition for people and they're hedging their bets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Once you go to Photos, if you edit anything in iPhoto, that's not going to then transfer back over to Photos. So there's correct, still correct. A bit
you
of
gotta
a wall
use one
there.
Or the other.
Yeah. Lee, you were saying?
No, I was just going to say, I think, you know, the main thing for me with the Photos app is I'm just glad I can now scroll through my library without killing my iMac. It's the performance is the main thing for me. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm kind of more of an amateur photographer, I guess. I've never really used Lightroom or any of the more powerful apps. So I've kind of mainly used iPhoto for its kind of management, library management, more than going in and doing edits. But as you guys will probably all know, is using iPhoto on a big library was just, you know,
nightmare.
For me anyway. I just constantly saw the spinning ball all the time. So for me, just being able to use Photos now and go back through my library for the last few years is really good.
Well, I've got to say that the most powerful application for Photos out there for the Mac is OS X. Absolutely. Still OS X. It's all I use. And now that Macworld's not coming back on, I might write to because Paul Wheatley surreptitiously videoed my presentation at Macworld last year, so I might ask him if I can play it. Might put it up. Mm-hmm. Here we go. I'll ask for permission. I'll ask Paul Kent if I can put it on the feed. But mine was all about doing nothing but using the OS X applications for Photos. Nothing, no extra, no iPhone, no nothing, no anything else. Just
so when you say OS X, are you talking about like image capture?
Yeah, I'm talking about image
capture preview.
Preview. Preview is massively powerful. Preview is unbelievably powerful for Photos. And all the stuff like Automatus and little tiny simple Automatus script.
Doug scripts, yeah.
No, but there's one that I can't remember the name of it that I use, and it's one Simon someone or other, and I'll find it out and put it in the show notes. But hey,
automated workflows.
Yeah, there's automated workflows for photography, which are just brilliant, and I use one for making contact sheets. Up at the end of the day, just take all of the raw files that I've got, drag them over, and drop them on an automator icon, and I get a contact sheet out at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well worth it. Well worth it. So don't be suckered into Lightroom's great. I'm not saying it's not, but there's nothing that Lightroom doesn't do that the OS X applications can't do to a basic level, and then you've got the editing bit you can't, but just the storage and smart folders is in tagging is just unbelievably powerful. We've done I forgot what I was going to say next. Now you distracted me. See, I'd lined up a thing that was going to go into something else, and I've forgotten it. But never mind. What else has happened? I had it all. iPad Pro. iPad Pro case has come out. And apparently, there's one come out that's got surprisingly detailed specs on it. Are we getting the iPad Pro then? Is this a definite, do we think?
I don't think so.
You don't?
It's not a definite thing.
You just think it's one of those things that they've got a couple of them kicking around and they're... shan't we? But they haven't decided that they're going to do it yet.
Exactly.
But the only thing that I'm thinking is, everything that's gone into the MacBook that they've just made, the 12-inch, there's an awful lot of transferable technology in there for a thin pad at 13 inches.
Absolutely. But that also means, is there even a reason for a 13-inch or 12-inch iPad if you have the MacBook?
Well, on the basis that the MacBook doesn't have a detachable screen, yes. Because, I mean, there's definitely a difference between having a pad and having a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that most impressed me about the new MacBook, and it's kind of funny because it came out like a week later, is anybody who's following the Intel computer on a stick, you take the new MacBook motherboard and you wrap it in a piece of plastic with vent holes on the side and add a HDMI connector. And I swear, it has to be the same thing. I mean, really, really close to the same thing. And then, so, I don't know, I don't feel the iPad Pro thing either. People have been wishing the iPad Pro as much as they've been wishing the iPhone Nano for and Gene Munster Vision for going on 4 or 5 years. Maybe I'll believe iPad Pro when it comes out. I kind of don't see the point for it right now, especially with the new MacBook just sort of coming out. And if you add up price to where they would probably be in order to bring this to fruition, it would basically be only a little bit cheaper than a full-on MacBook. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I kind of just don't get it.
I only know one person who would love to have one and would benefit from an iPad Pro, and that's Federico BTG.
Federico, there you go. Yeah.
So
Federico somewhere in iPad. Apple.it, there might be one being made, but...
Yeah. Bookery in the chat room said, to be fair, the iPad Pro could hold more drinks. Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say, the only thing that I could see me happening was the Force Touch technology that they've got in the watch potentially going on an iPad. Whether they call that an iPad Pro, I'm not sure. Whether it'll come out, I doubt it would come out this year, but I don't know. I mean, what do you think about Force Touch
on an entire screen with tactic feedback? Holy crap, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good
Why not? Mate.
That would be great.
Although, I could see that being useful.
I think that's something that they would just add to iPhone and iPad, you know, across the line once it's ready, rather than saying, oh, here's the Pro that does this one special thing for, you know, a small audience.
There's a lot of technology in the to fit in the case, though, isn't it, to make that happen? And the extra
size case. You have an incoming call from Adam Christensen.
And the extra size case would give them that ability to put that more technology in with the new batteries that they've got from the MacBook. Yeah. I mean, let me ask the question of everyone. If let's say, you know, money no object, it doesn't matter how much the thing costs, it doesn't matter what the spec is, etc., in terms of, you know, computing power, we'll align it with an A9, if you like, with everything else, or with an Intel i5 or something. Given the choice between an Air, a MacBook, and a Pro Pad, how many of you would take the Pad?
If it was the only choice?
No. Like you can buy any of those three.
Uh-huh.
But which would you... You can only buy one of them, though.
Probably an Air, actually.
Okay, so we've got one vote for Air.
I would go with a MacBook.
MacBook, yeah.
I would go with the MacBook, too.
Yeah, MacBook Air, too.
MacBook Air. Adam?
MacBook.
So no one would go for a Pad.
You ain't gonna tell you something that I haven't admitted to the public yet, but I'll admit it on this show.
Oh, mate, that'll clear up with Green. Don't worry about it.
No, when the iPhone 6 Plus first got it in my hand, and everyone's going, oh, I love my 6 Plus so much, I'm not going to use my iPad. I'm like, that's crazy. They're not the same device. You can't replace an iPad with the 6 Plus, blah, blah, blah. I stood on that fence, and I beat that drum really hard, and that drum sounds like a freaking one of those cowbells right now, because my iPad never leaves the bedroom. I don't hardly use it anymore, and I used to use it a lot. You know me, Patrice. Like,
yeah.
I really... What? Mule biker? I will hurt you. No, I'm surprised at my own self, because that's never going to happen. That's for mule biker, by the way. I'm really, 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 really surprised that I barely, barely, barely move my iPad off the table. It's either being used to watch videos, or I have it rocking Linda on the side or Skillshare on the side while I'm doing some stuff over here. And the only reason why it's gotten a lot of use recently is Dave Howell and the guys at Avatron just came out with an updated version of the, what is that thing called, Air Display. So now that I can kind of use it in Photoshop.
Mm. Well, for me, it hasn't changed that much. I'm still using my iPad a lot. There are maybe a two or three cases where I'm not rocking my iPad anymore, where I did before, but overall it's still the most used iOS device in my household, so it hasn't changed that much.
I'm telling myself I'm going to download workflows so that I can bring it back into fruition. I'm the only person that hasn't started playing with workflows yet, and I know you have because you wrote the article.
Yeah, I think it's quite interesting that my iPad is on a hover bar here. in front of the on my main, my big monitor, and I haven't taken it out since I got my iPhone 6. I watch stuff on the iPhone 6 on the train on the way down. And if I want something bigger, I take my 11-inch MacBook Air, which I do adore. I love the form factor of that. I've got a nice little leather shooting bag as well that it just fits in with a an adapter. And it's a beautiful day out with that.
I think that's the difference. You have a 11-inch MacBook Air. I don't. The next step up is my 15-inch MacBook Pro.
Oh, no. So in that case, yeah, your iPad is the most important thing. No question. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, but given the choice, I think for mobile, I think I didn't include the iPhone, but Doc's right. I think, you know, I'm not sure I'd go for a pad because at 13 inches, it's bigger than my 11-inch, so...
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not going to be good. The chat room has chipped in with their thoughts for it. Hal and Ben have both gone for MacBook, but for travel, Ken K said, nope, you go with the iPad. So, and Windrider's bedroom iPad, oh, suits you, sir. Is it on time-lapse, Doc?
No. But I definitely say when I travel, my iPad was the bomb because it's perfect for traveling. One of the greatest things about an iPad is when you get in the airplane, you take your shoulder bag or your backpack off, you pull the iPad and the set of headphones out, throw it in the seat, and just stuff everything else, and you never have to grab anything. Like, once you're there, you can go for days. I do love that, and I like how it fits perfectly in the back of the pockets on most airlines.
Yeah. One story that's come up this week that's quite interesting is the UK pocket socket for the iPhone charger. And it's showing this little three-way fold-out English plug, which is fantastic. But I got to say, I didn't think this would get through because the top spot, the earth pin on an English socket, pushes two protective doors. And I thought the reason that we had two protective prongs that stuck out was you couldn't push down the doors without there being a prong to follow it in. So I'm surprised that's got through, but that's not a confirmed photo, that's only a rumor, but that if that comes and it's allowable, then it's fantastic, it's great. But I didn't think it would get BS approval, I have to say, with British standards. So last thing then, WWDC is confirmed. I did predict 8th to the 12th, and lo and behold, yet again, no one's listened to me. And everyone's analysing the logo, and everyone's coming down with, I tell you what, that's an Apple TV.
What?
Yeah, it's exactly what it is.
No, it's a Mac Mini.
Or it's a Mac Mini. If you squint really hard on Thursday.
Why Thursday?
I'm just making crap up the way these guys make crap up.
They're announcing an NBC deal, like a peacock.
Is the NBC link-up thing, what TV channels or TV applications would have circular logos in them? Is NBC circular?
No, CBS, ABC. ABC is a peacock.
Yeah, there we go.
With the colored feathers.
The little square ones are watches, so the round one is going to be the round watch that they didn't announce yet. And then there's the Apple Car in there, and
I didn't see the car.
The microwave.
No. The colors and the shapes clearly indicate the Game Center logo. So WWDC is going to be all about games because that's the way Apple is at WWDC.
Yeah. I think you're the only one being serious there, Jeff. So the Apple Peacock will be released.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing is I like the way that the logo represents the Apple elite. You know, everyone says that we're elitist. So this is the place where the epic enter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, that says Epicenter. Sorry, I read that.
Kerning, man. You got to get the kerning right.
Epic entry. The
like Marco Rubio.
The epic entry. So forget about WWDC because no one's going to get a ticket and we're not going to go anyway. But what about then my idea, because it's the right dates now. We all meet up on the 12th, get ourselves lashed at the Chieftain. And then the following day, we pick up a Winnebago and we drive to Route 66 up to Chicago for the Midwest Mac Barbecue on the 20th.
Whoa. In there, buddy.
Eight days. 8 days of road trip, boys.
Yeah, it's ready. I got my card ready. I'm just going to press the button. As soon as you say go, Winans and I are coming to San Fran.
Who's in? Come on, chaps. Who's in? Adam?
I want to be. I can't do it.
What bloke doesn't want to be on a road trip for 10 days drinking beer and sitting in the back of a Winnebago without a wife?
Yeah.
Bro, this is going to be the mobile pin show.
Oh, that would be an... We got to do that.
You know, a really satellite dish on top. And
You pull over to the side of the road to one of those truck stops, right? And we all go into like one of five stalls. We put the mic in the middle and we chat it up inside the thing with the doors closed. And then we're really pulling the pin show.
Yeah, but it's only 5 minutes, so we can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we wouldn't be... We're not going to have anyone tapping on the door.
My idea was to get a U-Haul and just record the shows in the back all day long. One pin show after another.
Are you allowed to sit in the back while they're driving those things? I don't think you are you?
You are. Well, it depends on the city. I know in Hawaii you can as long as you're over 18.
Well, I'd rather be in a comfy Winnebago.
We'd all be in there and get wiped out by a tornado like in Iowa, and then that would be like all the Mac podcasts are gone.
Is that like a podcast safety policy?
Yeah,
no, it's all very well you all going to the same location, but when you're traveling, no more than two of you in the same vehicle.
Exactly.
Risk management dispersion thing.
Someone said that about the train to the U conference, because there were apparently so many Mac podcasters and Mac journalists in that one train that if something happened, that would be at the end of it.
I did a project that required me to go to Nuremberg for a week. And I went out to Nuremberg. There was three engineers as well and the project manager.
Mm-hmm.
Basically everyone that was at the pre-phase of the project. And we went from Nuremberg and we were flying back. We were driving back to the airport from the offices, and there was a guy, the guy that was driving was the only one that had a license with him, so he was the one that had to be on the hire car agreement. He got a conference call on. There was three engineers in the back who were the only engineers who knew what was going on, and the guy that's driving's on a conference call with me holding the phone to his ear, sat in the passenger seat. And I just kind of looked round at the other guys, and I was like, what's wrong with this picture? This £180 million project was just like, gone. In one car accident on an autobahn. That's it. We're done. I think there's no Apple News, was there? No, we made it up. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. No, whoa, there is one thing. Lee is supposed to talk to us about MacBook.
Lee is supposed to talk to us about MacBook.
Yeah, he says that they're taking a piss because there's not enough of them to go around.
How many are there?
I don't know. Talk to Lee. So, take it off my face. I gotta scratch my nose.
So Lee, as in this Lee?
Yeah.
Lee says they're not enough to get around. Go on, mate.
Well, I made a comment earlier just around the fact that there aren't any available in any of the stores. I don't know what it's like in the States, but certainly when I went last week, I wanted to have a play around with it, and I was just not in store. From what I've heard on some of the commentary, there's a lot of people complaining that they can't get any.
Yeah, my friend just called and asked me which one should I get, and I said, okay, I'll go to the store with her, because if she go in by herself, all the little cretins in there would be trying to hit on her all the time. She's one of the top models in the States. So I'm like, yeah, surely, I'll gladly go there with you. And we finally settled on gold, and he's like, yeah, you can't have one. And she just looked at me like she wanted to kill me, because I finally got her to pick gold. And she's like, well, what's up for if I can't take one home now? And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I forgot about that. So you're right. It's even here in the States, you can't get one.
Thanks to
and in the store where I was, they didn't even have one on display, so I couldn't even try it, even if I wanted to.
Yeah, that was the same with me. I thought, well, I'll have a look at one of them when I'm in there, but they didn't have any on display at all.
Well, when I said it was a concept PC last week, I think it might well be Hal Sherman's put the MacBook is only in store for demos.
Yeah.
The new Apple.
Thanks to October Magic, who's just tweeted an hour and a half after we started that we'll be live in an hour. I do appreciate that tweet, though, mate. Thank you very much. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They are fantastic. We got some great stuff kicking off with them. We're also talking about doing a server podcast with them. So there'll be someone from UK2 on who can talk us through the specialisms of servers, how to set them up, how to get the best from your server, tips for running your own dedicated server, that kind of thing. So that's, I'm really looking forward to that. Should be in the next couple of months. We've also got a tie-up with them through to the live shows, because another firm that's part of QNET is 100TB.com. And 100TB give us the server that the live stream runs on. And our streaming live service is still running at 2 seconds delay to the world. We've got a content management distribution system on there that is just unbelievable. And the server that we're on is the server that you will buy if you go to them. So if you're in the States, go to 100TB.com and check out their dedicated servers, because they are blistering, absolutely blistering. And thanks to UK2 and 100TB, because we couldn't be working without them. Wirecast also helped us with the live stream just a little bit, because they gave us the software, $2,000's worth of Wirecast, to me and Paul, so that we could run our studios. But of course they do ScreenFlow and other applications which are there. Flip for Mac is another one for video conversion. So check them out, and if you get a chance, send a tweet out to UK2 100TB, or tell a stream that just says thanks for supporting the British Tech Network, really appreciate it, it's really good of you. Now then, the other thing is, someone has seen an Uber car in Birmingham, but Muller said that it was the same one, so he thinks there's only one bloke that's an Uber car in the whole of Birmingham.
It's a ghost car.
It's a ghost car. And I've had AZ on Twitter has also said today that he's seen one, but it could be the same bloke, so we're not hopeful. Now then, do you want a caricature? Would you guys love a caricature of yourselves?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Len Peralta caricature, an original. If you want an original as drawn by Len Peralta caricature of you, you can have one with BTN. So, we've got a special offer code for you that we'll email to you, and all you've got to do is send Len 3 pictures of yourself, and you will get the original Len Peralta caricature as a PNG, so it'll have a blank background. You can put it anywhere you like, on any background you want. You can superimpose it on your own body or on someone else's or something like that. It's up to you. You'll also get one banner on the BTN website, and it can be anything you like, your school fete, your local church meetings, it could be your company advertisement, it's up to you. You get one banner to have what you like. Batwench chose hers, and it was her podcast Dream Team, and there we all are, sickly and pasty as we are, apart from Doc. And you can get exactly the same thing. $100 gets you a banner, and it gets you a BTN All Access, Access All Areas Pass, and it also gets you a sticker bomb. So what we'll do is we'll give you the Sticker Bomb logo, which has got your caricature in the middle there, just like mine. And you can, whatever device you say you want it for, we'll make the artwork up for you. And you can send it off to someone that will make you a cover for your iPad or a cover for your iPhone or a cover for your MacBook Pro or whatever. Your choice. Entirely your choice. So you get all of those things for $100. And you wouldn't be able to get all of that if you just went to Len and asked him to draw you a caricature. This is a special offer. So send an email to btncaricatures@gmail.com. Make sure you spell caricatures right, and we will get it all processed for you and get it sorted. There we go. It's wonderful. Please support Len, because he's done a great job doing ours, and we've got a few more we need to do as well yet for the rest of the team. Right. Now then, time for the cool thing. And Lee, would you like to start us off with a cool thing?
Yeah, sure. So the cool thing that I've been playing around with is on my iPhone. So I've kind of had a love-hate relationship with cases ever since probably the iPhone 4. But with the iPhone 6, I found these films. I'm not sure if anyone else uses these. This is from a company that I found on eBay. I'm not sure if it's just a UK company, but they're called Screen Knight. That's K-N-I-G-H-T, as in medieval knights and all that. I don't know if you can see this on the camera very well. You can just see it's like a bit shiny,
yeah, it's shiny
on each side, but what it does is really easy to apply, but it adds loads of grip to the phone, so I don't actually use a case on this at all. I always find my case just a pain, because I always end up having to take them in and out when I'm putting them in my car kit and stuff like that, and I found this to be a really cheap, it's like £5, so it's like $8, $9, I guess. Yeah. eBay, Screen Knight, easy to apply. Just adds a lot of grip to it if you normally like just carrying around a phone and you find the 6 and the 6 Plus to be a little bit slippy, which I think it is on the back. It does I find the aluminium to be a bit slippy. I'm always worried about dropping it, but I don't anymore. So yeah, that's my cool thing.
iPhone 6, 5.5 invisible is $599, and it's $599 for the 4.7 as well. There you go. And the ultra thin glass protector is out of stock. So there you go. He's popular. Good pick, mate. Thank you. Adam, what have you got for us, sir?
I've got my newest obsession. I get hooked on trivia applications, and I had been avoiding this one for a while, and I finally installed it because I saw some people on there that I wanted to, and it's called Trivia Crack. And it is a trivia game. You've got a bunch of different topics. You've got history, art, like media or movies and TV shows and things like that. I think there's 5 or 6 different categories. It's kind of got almost like a Trivial Pursuit element to it. So you've got a wheel, you spin the wheel, you get a question, and the community actually creates and curates the questions, which is interesting. And then you can kind of vote on them too. If you get one that you particularly don't like, you kind of vote it down, vote it up sort of thing. But the main point of it is to collect a character in each category of the, I think there's 6 or 7 categories. I can't remember the exact number. And then the first person to do that wins the game. You can challenge your friends. It's hooked into Facebook, which isn't my favorite thing, but that's all right. And I put up with that. The only other complaint I have about it is that you're given sort of 3, they call them lives. So you can sort of start up or challenge the 3 games, and then you have to wait. So it's one of those stupid timed things that, you know, trying to force you to buy more lives so that you can do more concurrent games. So you can get 3 going at a time, and then you have to wait about an hour, and then you can get another 3. So I've built up, you know, after a couple days, you can build up where you've got, you know, a few dozen games going, because it's, you know, it's a one of these non-real-time things. So you challenge someone, you answer questions until you miss one, and then it's sort of their turn to go. And it's a race to see who can get all of the characters first. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it says it's free, yes. One of the reviews says the ads are very annoying. And there is an extra endless lives pack that you can get, but that's like £20.
Sorry, yeah, it is. Yeah, it's overpriced on the lives. You don't need the lives. You can play without it. And they do have a non-ad version, which I think was $2.99, so I went straight for that because I didn't want to deal with the ads.
Yeah.
So it was worth $3 for that, but it still has some of that in-app, you know, like buy more stuff thing. And I've kind of gotten away from begrudging developers for that because it's sort of been forced on them, you know, without having the ability to sell upgrades or other sorts of things. So it's gotten difficult for developers. This one's a little more egregious, I would like, but it's still a really fun game and I'm enjoying it. And I want more people to play so I can challenge more people. So,
okay, good man.
Well, there you go, trivia crack.
Superb. Now then, Doc.
You know, I brought it up while we were talking story, and I'm happening to be really, really in love with this new update, but Avatron Software Air Display, which I've been using for a really long time, but it's getting to be pretty, pretty amazing now, and it seems like Dave and the crew over there always find a way to make the app even better. And if you were like me and finding, or even like you had mentioned too, you're finding yourself with an iPad that maybe isn't getting all the use that you used to give out of it, you need to check out Air Display. It basically allows you to use your iPad as a second screen for your Mac. But one of the other things that it can do is now you can use a sort of touch and pressure sensitive controls for various things in your Mac, like photo editing and video editing, and that including someone like me who might be in a garage band, you can even put some of your VST style tools to the side and you control all of that all through the Air Display. And it's a pretty amazing app and I absolutely love it. It's maybe one of the coolest things. You will freak people out if you use it in the wild because they don't know about it. And they'll be like, how'd you do that?
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. And it's actually got a lot better as well, hasn't it? Because before it was really glitchy with the mouse movement and that kind of stuff, but now it's a lot better.
It amazes me how well it works.
It is. Yeah, it's very good. Very good. Jeff, what have you got for us, sir?
I'm going to circle back to the photos for OS X and recommend an app called Power Photos by Fat Cat Software. It's the same people who do iPhoto Library Manager. It just came out, I think, yesterday or the day before. It's $20, and it basically lets you combine photos libraries and weed out duplicates and do a lot of very cool stuff that's either hidden in OS X or just not in photos for OS X or just, you know, not there. So it looks like a really good either tool to use before you're doing all of your importing or, you know, managing libraries and all of that. So looks like a great add-on for it.
Excellent, mate. Superb. Is that Fat Cat Images?
Fatcatsoftware.com.
Fat Cat Software. Thanks, mate. Brilliant. Oh, good pick. Like that. And last, but by no means least, Atrice.
Yeah, and I'm going to go a little bit off the beaten path because I'm going to pick a book. It's available on the iBookstore. That's where I found it, and that's where I'm reading it for $9.99. And it's called Profit First, a system to transform any business from a cash-eating monster to a money-making machine. And it's really interesting. I mean, I'm guessing we are all running some sort of a business, whether you're a freelancer or you really have a company with employees and everything. And how it usually works for us is money comes in. We take out the expenses, we take out taxes and all that stuff, and whatever is left over is our profit. And this book and the system behind it basically turns it around and says, okay, profit is the most important part, and you should focus on, well, you shouldn't focus on only making profit, but you should make profit with whatever you do. So why not take a certain percentage out right at the go, and then scale down your expenses if you can and stuff like that. So because I mean, how it works for most companies and why a lot of companies fail is because once more money comes in, the expenses rack up because we have more money, so we can spend more money and we like to spend more money. And taking out the profit first makes sure that you're not spending all the money you're making, and you have a healthy business and a business that it can be called a business. So it's a really interesting book. It's written from the perspective of a CEO or of a freelancer. It's not for accountants or something like that. So I think you can understand, anybody can understand it with a little bit of thought. So it's not that complicated.
And it's about,
it's actually relatively easy.
iBooks. Do you know a price?
$9.99.
Right. Thank you. Is that euros? So,
no, dollars. I picked dollars. So it's euros. It's 10. Well, Germany was $10.99.
That's
so
not too bad.
A little bit more expensive.
Yeah, good one. Excellent pick, sir. My cool thing is unashamed self-promotion of the network. I've brought my guitar with me because we've got a guitar podcast coming. This man up here, Lee, he's a man who makes a living playing the guitar. And he has very kindly come to the network and brought the Guitar Podcast, the Guitar Show. It's absolutely excellent. I've listened to the first episode, so you can hate me just like you hate J.J. Abrahams, because I've listened to it. You haven't! but fear not, if we can get the channel sorted, which we were going to get it up today, but we haven't got the channel sorted yet, we'll get that sorted over the weekend. Episode 1 will go up. And Lee, tell us about what you're covering in it.
Okay, so what I wanted to do was try and get kind of people that are interested in both playing guitar. It's kind of, I've played guitar for about 15 years, and coming into iOS in the last kind of few years, I've found it really interesting in the way that there's a lot of apps, a lot of technology now, which you know, even things like being able to play your guitar on your iPad, and I just wanted to share that out. It's something I've been doing over the last few years on my blog and on Twitter and YouTube, and I just really wanted to get this podcast going so that we could build a bit of community around kind of learning guitar. Hints and tips, apps of the week, so kind of cool stuff, you know, that can be anything from pedals to guitars to amps. But yeah, it's going to have a guitar, obviously guitar focus, but with a bit of an Apple or a Mac iOS kind of slant to it. So we're going to go into recording, whether that's on an iPad or a Mac. So yeah, just it's been fun. You know, appreciate you letting me join the network, and
it's brilliant, mate.
Oh yeah, just hope we get going on it.
So we're going to the first one you've done, you've gone through the basic iOS applications that you can use to plug your guitar in. You're talking about some kind of if someone's got a riff or a lesson that they want on how to play a popular song.
Yeah, that's right.
Or...
So what I wanted to do was part of the segment on the podcast was try and build up a bit of a kind of a learning section. So
learn with Lee.
Learn with Lee, kind of, yeah, and it was hard for me to kind of do them for a first episode because I'm trying to gauge what your kind of levels are. So I was thinking more starting from like in a beginner level and go through to like an intermediate level. But if there are specific songs and interests, you know, that people have, it'd be great if you could drop me a note on Twitter or via the network.
Well, we'll do it. I was going to say, if you've got a question for Lee about guitar equipment, guitar stuff, you've talked about there's a Tony Iommi, isn't there? New guitar.
Yeah, there's a Tony Iommi that's in there as well. Signature.
So it's all that rumour stuff.
Today. Yeah.
And also there's a question section like there used to be in the photo show. So get your questions in to Lee at britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. And if you've got a piece of music that you want to learn how to play and you want Lee to show you, then we're going to do a kind of pseudo-video version, I think, where we're going to put stills over, like Adam does with Matcast, but then there'll be a little bit with Lee playing and showing you how to play the section as well as. So I am excited, and I would be subscribed already if I possibly could. So I've only found my guitar again this year because I stopped playing for a couple of years, but I'm back into it now. Brilliant. Thank you, mate.
Cheers.
That's my cool thing, our new show. And if you've got a show that you want to bring to the network, it's got a loose tech association that you think, yeah, that would fit in nicely with the network, bring it along, give me a shout, send me an email, and we'll look at putting it in. I am talking to someone at the moment about potentially an astronomy show, which is another one that I'll...
Cool.
My wife's cool. Going to see me. She's going to hate me.
Sounds great.
But the astronomy one should be good. And the guy that does it is a guy called @virtualastro on Twitter. So if you can... get in touch with him and tell him, oh, please do the Astro podcast with British Tech Network and at Ewan Rankin. So, because he's a good old bloke. He does the if you're in the UK and you like watching the ISS pass over, he does a timetable of when you can watch it pass over and what direction from and all that kind of stuff. Well worth
it. I'm on a new telescope.
New telescope. He does telescopes. He does advice on telescopes as well. So check out his link to Amazon and stuff. It's his Amazon stuff, but he does all the legwork and the, you know, I don't begrudge him the money because he does
what's
a
the
lot
show?
For
what's
it
the guy's name?
@virtualastro. And tell him you found him through us, me. But like I say, his Amazon links are like for budgets and scopes that are available, even binoculars that are available that are really good star spotting. So he's got like this little set of stuff. And if you go to meteorwatch.org, he's got all of the stuff that he's got for starting in Astro listed there as well, and techniques. And I wanted to do a bit of sun photography, and he's put me in touch with a nice bloke on Twitter who's basically told me I'm an idiot. So very nicely, though. He was very polite about saying, you're an idiot. It's a lot more to it than that. I had got him with a kind of how hard can it be attitude, which doesn't serve you well in solar photography, apparently.
Stack a bunch of indie films.
Don't forget the bash. If you want a bash ticket, get the bash tickets. 3rd and 4th of July, go to British Tech Network and you'll see a bash banner. Click on that and it'll take you straight to where to get your bash tickets. £20 for the whole day. Everything's included. Don't need food, don't need wine, don't need beer, don't need soft drinks. Just bring yourself. Kids getting free, under 16s, free of charge. And the curry's on the 3rd, the night before. £10 deposit for everyone. But then we'll just split the bar bill between us. Where can we get a hold of you then, chaps? Lee?
Okay, so the best place to get hold of me on Twitter is probably the best place, to be honest. That's at LJPUK. I've also got my site at LJPUK.com, which is covering kind of my tech writing and also the music stuff too.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much, and welcome to the network.
Thank you.
Adam, where are you, sir?
Yep, you can find me over at maccast.com, Maccast on iTunes, and I also do the iOS show with Michael Johnston and Jeff Gamet, and that's at the iOSshow.com.
Excellent, Mike. Thanks very much. Doc, where would you be?
You can find me anywhere on the Twitterverse, the FaceSpace, Instabook, you know, whatever that stuff is, at DocRock, and on MacUser.pro with my buddy Patrice and Jerome and Ben, who's in the chat, and on this network, causing trouble to you and then the Brits.
Yeah, starting fights, taking names.
Start fights.
Brilliant. Jeff, where are you, sir?
I am at Jeff Carlson on Twitter and the like, and Carlson.com on the web.
Excellent, mate. And finally, last but by no means least, can't change the camera. Yeah. Patrice, where are you, mate?
Me. You can find me on Twitter at casual_kitchen. I've also got a blog at brandonmoore.net where I post random stuff. And other than that, I've got a podcast where we deconstruct bullshit stories. I hope I can say that word. Bullshit tech stories every week. It's on deconstruct.tv. And yeah. I think that's about it. Mac is a pro. Doc already mentioned that.
Nothing compared to the editing that bloody Greeny gives me.
I said it twice.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. We'll be doing a pinch show immediately after this. We've just asked everyone for the title that they want for it, what the subjects are that we're going to discuss. That should be pretty interesting. Feisty bunch this afternoon. We'll see you next week for the Mac show as normal. It'll be on at 3 o'clock, and Big Show will be on Friday. And Monday, it's the Gamer Show. So check out the Gamer Show, Monday night, 8 p.m. with Sam Chiz and Paul Wheatley. Well worth watching. They'll be doing a live play again. Hopefully not GTA 5, because my son was watching. See you all next week. Thanks for listening.